Going to look at a text that maybe is somewhat familiar to most of you. It's one of my favorite passages. I love this passage in 1 Kings 21. And now our study is going through verse by verse through the life of Elijah. And this passage actually does not even mention Elijah, but it sets the groundwork for what God's going to tell Elijah, which we'll look at next Wednesday night. I want us to look at this passage. 1 Kings 21, and this is a passage about Naboth and the vineyard. Let's read a few verses to get us started. Verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again for your word tonight. Father, I want to thank you for Lord, the privilege to be able to study your word, the privilege for me to be able to proclaim your word. But Father, I thank you for the privilege that through your Holy Spirit, we can understand your word and we can apply your word. And Father, we can experience the reality of your word in our lives day by day. And so Father, I pray that as we look at this tonight, you would help us to see, help us to understand, and help us to apply. That, Father, you could be glorified thereby, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, Amen. Well, as we've already seen with Ahab and Jezebel, they are just steeped in idolatry. And, of course, Jezebel has now, if you will, reinvented this idolatry. And now, all of a sudden, it's about to come to a head. And what brings it to a head is this event that we're going to look at tonight. And this is that event of Naboth. Now, what we're going to see tonight is this, that sin is progressive. Now, what do you mean by progressive? What I mean by that is this, that if we allow sin to remain in our lives, it'll keep progressing on to greater and greater and greater things. In other words, sin will never be dormant. Sin is always going to grow. Sin is always going to be progressive. One of the greatest illustrations in all of Scripture of this is with Solomon. And the Bible says that Solomon loved the Lord, but he liked to worship in high places. And because he liked to worship in high places, here was the thing. He went to worship the Lord, but in high places, there were many others that were worshiping idols. And if you read on in the life of Solomon, you find out it says that he began to marry many of the Canaanites, many of the idolaters, and the Bible says, and they pulled his heart away from God. The progressive nature of sin, one little seed of sinfulness, can mushroom into great, great tragedy. And that's really the essence of our text tonight. Now, A.W. Tozer made this statement, and I want to quote it. The essence of idolatry, now listen to this, this is a profound statement. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. The essence of idolatry are entertaining thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. In other words, idolatry can start by just thinking wrong about the Lord. And that's where idolatry can start. Because when we think wrong about the Lord, all of a sudden we're thinking in another realm. Or we're putting our affection in something else. And that's where idolatry begins. And listen, Ahab and Jezebel have no comprehension about the God of Israel. And now Ahab has come to this place that he sees something he wants. And yet, here's what happens. It is Jezebel that works behind the scenes to make it happen. And so let's look at this together. I want you to look at these verses with me. First thing is the covetousness of Ahab. The covetousness of Ahab. Ahab coveted a vineyard that belonged to a man named Naboth. The Bible says this vineyard was near or next to Ahab's palace. And it also says Ahab goes to him, and when Ahab goes to him, he makes him an offer. And the offer is, if you will, very fair and very generous offer. The offer is twofold. Number one, Naboth, I'll give you a better vineyard than this. Or I'll give you the money of what this vineyard is worth. In other words, Ahab wasn't trying to steal the vineyard. Ahab wasn't trying to take the vineyard. Ahab, as king, could have just, if you will, decreed it and it would have been happened. But Ahab was trying to be fair to Naboth. But there was a bad, bad problem with this. It really wasn't Naboth's vineyard. It was the Lord's. So now, what happens is, this covetous act of Ahab leads us to the conviction of Naboth. Naboth had a conviction about this vineyard. And this conviction was one thing, something that was going to make him be steadfast concerning this vineyard. Notice what it says in verse 3. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me. In other words, let me put it to you this way. Ahab, you don't understand. This is not my call. This is not my decision. This is not my choice. God's already spoke on the matter. And I'm going to obey God and what God spoke on the matter. He had a faithful stand. Where did he get this from? Well, I want to give you a few verses. First is Numbers chapter 36 and verse 7. Listen to what God said. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from the tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Now listen to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. Listen to this verse. Here's what God commanded. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. This is God speaking to Israel. He said, the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me, and all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. In other words, listen, you are just stewards of what I'm letting you use. It's not yours. Now I want you to listen, folks. It is so easy for us, if we're not careful, to allow a seat of compromise in our life. And I want to tell you, that one little seat of compromise will mushroom if you let it do so. And by the way, can I just make this application? If we're saved today, everything we have really is not ours. It sovereignly belongs to Him. You and I are just caretakers of it. I remember Dr. Ron Lynch telling this story many times where he said that he was doing revival and somebody stole his car. Judy called him on the phone just bawling her eyeballs out, saying, Ron, what are we going to do? We can't get along without a car. We got to have a car. What are we going to do? And Ron said, let's pray about it. And so Ron started praying over the phone. He said, Lord, somebody stole your car. What are you going to do about it? Folks, listen to me. We own nothing as a child of God. Everything belongs to Him. We are just stewards of what God's given us. And Naboth understood this principle. And Naboth had a faithful stand. He said, this is forbidden of me of the Lord, and I will not. Now, we can take this so many different directions. But how many things is God's word clear about that's forbidden by God do we participate in and compromise in, thinking God understands, or God will understand, or God will look past it, or God will forgive it if I do it? I want you to listen. That is compromise, and it'll lead you down a road you don't want to go. Matter of fact, I'll say it this way. Churches all across America are walking in this reality right now. They're compromising the Word of God for the sake of trying to reach the world. And I want to tell you something, folks. Listen, this is not our call. It's God's call. And we just have the glorious privilege of grace of getting to be a part of what God has. And so this faithful stand of Naboth, well, it was a firm stand. Matter of fact, if you'll read down with me in verse 6, and we'll get to this in a minute, Ahab was telling Jezebel what happened. And notice at the bottom of verse 6, Ahab recounts what he told Naboth. And look at the very last little sentence on verse 6. And here's how Naboth responded. And he answered, "I will not give thee my vineyard." It was a definitive, firm, faithful stand. This is not for me to decide. It's God's decision. Now listen to me. The truth of God's word is one thing we are to stand faithful with and not compromise ever. Ever. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Listen to what it says. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. You say, wait a minute. What do you mean buy the truth and sell it not? In other words, let me put it to you this way. Receive it and never let it go. Receive it and never let it go. Truth, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Receive it and never let it go. Boy, the Bible is full of those that sold out for some cause. We go back to Esau in the Old Testament. What do we find out? Esau sold out his heritage for a mess of pottage. We go on. What do we find out with Judas? He sold out the person of the Lord Jesus for silver. You go on to the New Testament, what do you find? The Bible says, Paul says of Demas, he sold out for the love of the world. It's so easy to compromise and to sell out for something that may be pleasing to us in the short term, but can I tell you, is destructive to us in the long term. To compromise is nothing more and nothing less than to walk in deception. That's all it is. When we compromise truth, or when we compromise the principles of God's word, or the standards in which God wants our lives to be, when we compromise, no matter what attach we put to it to try to excuse it away, when we do, we have entered into the realm of deception. Because we've convinced ourselves of something that is not true to be true. And can I tell you, that's deception. And can I tell you, deception is absolutely a cancer in the spiritual life. I don't know how many times I've counseled with people over the years that are going through struggles, maybe habits or whatever it may be, struggles in their life, and I've counseled with them, and I've told them, I said, here's the remedy of what you need to do. I don't know why people don't like to come to me for counseling. I can't figure that out. I just tell them what the Bible says. I mean, I don't know what else to tell them. You know. Listen, folks, I'm old school. I believe the Bible has every answer for the issue of life. Every answer. I don't think there's an issue of life you can't find in Scripture. But anyway, I just tell people what the Scripture says. I said, here's the easy fix to this. The Bible says if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, what? So if this is an addiction in your life, if this is a habit in your life, you're not supposed to be in your life, what's the solution? Get rid of it. I was counseling with someone several years ago who had an issue with, it happened to be pornography. And I was counseling with him, and I said, all right, here's what you need to do. You need to turn your computer off. He said, I can't do that. I said, you need to get rid of your computer. I can't do that. I said, then you need to make sure that your computer is password protected, that only your wife can get on it, and you're only on it when she's with you. He said, I can't do that. I said, so what do you want me for? He said, I don't have anything to say. Are y'all with me? In other words, if it's something that is there, we have to get it out. Now, here's the thing. Naboth said, I will not compromise what is God's. I will not let you have it. And so we see the stand of Naboth. But I want you to see something that makes this stand even more substantial. The strength of Naboth. Who's he talking to when he says this? He's not talking to another landowner who's on equal level of Naboth. Who's he saying this to? The king. And not only the king, but a king that has no empathy for Israel or for the Jews, which Naboth is. A king that is brutal and ruthless and is known for that across the land. And you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Naboth was so strong and so steadfast that I will not compromise what God has given me. He stood by faith even amongst one that could take his life. Didn't matter to Naboth. See, here's what Naboth understood. It's a lot better to stand before man and say no than stand before God and pay the price. And here Naboth took a stand that was built in his strength, his faithfulness to God. Well, with that being said, look thirdly with me at the carnality of Ahab. Y'all ever heard the term, he's pitching a temper tantrum? Y'all ever heard that term? Or you ever heard somebody say of an adult, they're acting like a child? Y'all must not have been to too many Baptist business meetings over the years, have you? Hey, listen, folks, sometimes people can act like children. Are you with me? You read what I'm about to read. You tell me if Ahab ain't doing that. Notice what it says. Verse 4, so Ahab didn't get his way. Verse 4, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. Sound familiar? Parents. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad, and thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered and said, I will not give thee to my vineyard. Let me put it to you in layman terms. Mama, I didn't get what I wanted. Isn't that what he's saying? Exactly what he's saying. And so here is Ahab. Listen, as king of Samaria. And he's not wanting to act against Naboth. But yet at the same time, he didn't get his way. This is what carnality is. Now, carnality is just another word for your flesh. It's just flesh living. Let me show you two things about Ahab's response here. The sorrow of the flesh. The response of a man who always got his way, but now did not. Listen to me. Life in the spiritual realm is lived in the reality of not getting our way, but God getting His way. How many times have you not got your way and you pouted? Now some of y'all not telling me the truth. We've all done it, have we not? We've not got our way. I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe they didn't do that for me. Whatever it may be. Y'all been there, done that? This is what Ahab's doing. That's carnality. When I do it, it's carnality. When you do it, it's carnality. You say, preacher, you do that? I've wore that shirt too many times. I have. Because there's something about our flesh that wants it our way. Wants it our way. And so here is Ahab living in the only realm of life he knows, in the flesh. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, eat bread, let thine heart be married. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now, I want to say this with all the love I have in me. And every parent continues to learn this as you grow as a parent. I'm not there yet. But we learn as we grow that if you give everything your child wants, you're going to pay for it one day. Are y'all hearing me? You'll pay for it one day. And Jezebel says, listen, don't be sorrowful. I'm going to satisfy your desire. And isn't that what your flesh loves? That your desire can be satisfied. Now, I want you to see this, because this is imperative for you to understand. When you have your flesh stroked and satisfied, you don't ask questions how. Do you see here? Listen, if Ahab wanted to take that vineyard away from Naboth, you think he couldn't have done it? He's king. Something about Ahab said, I'm not to go there. But I want the vineyard. And so Jezebel comes along. And she said, listen, Ahab, don't be sorrowful. I'll get it for you. Do you see Ahab saying to his wife, how are you going to do that? Do you see him asking her, what are you going to do? No. What do you see? Oh, I get what I want. So what are you saying? I'm saying when our flesh begins to be satisfied, we will lower our expectations and we'll begin to compromise and we won't ask questions. I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest tools our enemy uses against us. All right, notice with the carnality of Ahab, notice the conspiracy of Jezebel. So how does Jezebel go about bringing this about? I want you to look at this with me. She begins by a decree. And it's a deceptive decree, but it's a decree. So verse 8, so she wrote letters to Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the noblers and that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast, set Naboth on high among the people. Why? And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness again, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. The decree. Why did she decree a fast? Because for Israel, here's what Jezebel's doing. She's dealing with a Jewish man, an Israelite. And so what does she do in this plan of hers to deceive, to get what she wants for Ahab? She puts on a cloak of religious garment. And she now takes the role of the religious and brings it about by using the law of God that God gave to Israel. You say, what do you mean? Well, here's what would take place. If there was known sin in the city, the first thing Israel would do is they would declare a fast in the city. Why? That in fasting, God would expose the sin, deal with the sin, that God wouldn't have to judge the sin. And if somebody was accused of a sin, they could only be accused if they brought two witnesses. Y'all remember what she decreed? And then and only then could execution take place. So here is Jezebel. She makes this decree in verse 8 and 9. She has her disciples in verse 10 that are going to go out and declare false witness against Naboth. But in the whole realm of it, it's nothing more than deception. Religious deception. Verse number 12, they proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, set before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth of the city and stoned him with stones, and he died. The deception. Preacher, what are you saying to us? I'm saying this. when our flesh, and when we begin to compromise with our flesh, listen to me, you'll go to means that you never thought you'd go to satisfy your flesh. Let me put it to you another way. You take Jesus out of us, only the world knows what we would do. The only good thing about us is Him. Y'all agree with that? So what happens when we begin to walk in the realm of our flesh? It's untelling what we'll do. And so where does this end? It ends with death. So notice the death. They stoned Him. They stoned Him. And He died. Now here's one of the great questions that's asked about this passage. Why in the world would God allow this to happen to a man that was so faithful, that would not compromise? Amen? Can I tell you? First thing, we look at it all wrong. The first thing we need to look at it is this. For one of God's saints, death is not a bad thing. Amen? That's the first thing. Second thing is this. Only God knows His divine plan in the midst of these things. Why would God allow this? God didn't do it. God allowed it. Why would God allow it? Because God was going to turn and use this act as the very means to remove Ahab and Jezebel. And so God allowed the death of a faithful man to do a work that would absolutely, listen, be for a whole nation's benefit. Because who's leading Israel into idolatry? So there's two ways to get Israel out of idolatry. Either they repent. How many agree that hadn't went too good? Or God removes the sin. So all of this was God's mercy for Israel, for a whole nation. Now, the stoning and the death. But notice the last thing, the stilling and the death. So how does Ahab respond in all this? Remember, his flesh desires something. Verse 15, and it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite and to take possession of it. And Ahab just stole the land of Naboth's fathers. More importantly, Ahab stole the land that belonged to God. Now I want you to see something here in the stealing of this land. Listen to me. Do you see anywhere in here where Ahab asked Jezebel, how did he die? Why didn't he? Oh, it's simple. Because he was getting what he wanted. Do you find this to be true? Notice the progression of sin. When he confronted Naboth, he had a little morals about him. But he didn't deal with his selfish desire. So now he lets Jezebel take over for him, not asking and not knowing what she's done. And now all he hears is Naboth is not a problem anymore, he's dead. And all Ahab is thinking about is that land is mine. And now any moral gumption that Ahab had is dissipated by a desire that satisfied his flesh. Y'all see how easy it is to compromise? It is so easy to compromise. So what are you saying to us, preacher? Oh, it's simple. Whenever truth comes, Whenever conviction comes, whenever God is trying to warn, govern, or guide our lives, listen to what I'm about to say. Every decision we make ought to be weighed with this responsibility. God, is this what you want? First. Is this what's going to glorify you? Second. And I'm dead, but I'm alive in you. So what I want doesn't matter. And if we live our lives on that basis, I promise you, we won't compromise. We won't compromise. Truth. There's a lot of things that sin offers. There is. And a lot of those things we really could enjoy. But is it really worth it in the end? We're going to look next week and God's going to literally lay it on the line with Ahab and Jezebel over this very incident. And God's going to deal with them both. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise you and I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of Naboth. And Father, I pray today that, Father, you would help us to be diligent, to be sensitive, never ever to compromise the convictions of your Holy Spirit, the truth of your word, the guidance of your hand, the direction of your voice. Father, that we would be faithful. Father, there would be no excuse our flesh could come up with and no excuse that the world could come up with that would cause us to step out in the realm of compromise. Father, let us stand in the midst of a world that may refuse our stand. Let us stand in the midst of a current that's flowing against us. Let us stand, and let us stand faithful, that the world will know that your word is true, and every man a liar. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,